Yes, let's grab our hymnals and we'll stand for our final hymn tonight. Let's open up to hymn 12. Hymn 12 is a special hymn concerning the sweet hour prayer and how we need to pray in these last days, boy. Oh, whew. Man, oh man. We're going to sing all three. And a couple of announcements just before we sing. Of course, this Sunday we'll be celebrating the Lord's table Sunday night. And then 2 weeks from tonight, we've got a missionary family coming. 2 weeks from tonight. So tell everybody about that. The Myers will be with us. That'll be a real blessing. Let's sing.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of care, that bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy sweet turn, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage that waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him mine every care. By thy return, sweet hour. Consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty heights I view my home and take my flight. This song of heart, distress and grief, my and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Amen.
Please be seated, folks. Yes, indeed. It's a privilege of prayer that we have. Whatever it might be that's troubling us, we can bring it to the Lord. That is a real privilege of the believer. Well, folks, tonight let's grab our Bibles at this time. And, of course, we're in the book of Psalms once again. Psalms 119. As we continue on, tonight we're going to come to verse number 81. Verse 81, and we're going to cover eight more verses. What would that take us to? Verse what?
88.
I knew I'd get one of you. 88, you were right the first time.
Go slow tonight.
Mercy, you're right. Verse 81 through 88. Praise the Lord. Let's remain seated as we come tonight back to our exposition of Psalm 119. In verse 81, we read, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth." Father in heaven, how we thank you for these 8 verses tonight. And Lord, as I came to prepare last night for this evening's message, and I looked at these verses, at first glance, I thought that it seemed quite gloomy. Lord, I thought that the verses seemed quite dark until I further investigated, O God, and found such rich treasures of your blessings in these verses, Lord. I thank you for these verses, Lord. I thank you that every child of God can relate to the King David and the trials he was going through and the comfort and help that he received from thee, O Lord. And we just ask you to bless your word tonight to us, and by your Holy Spirit, help us to understand what it means in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, beloved, here tonight, in these verses, we come to the Hebrew letter Kaf. And in this section, the psalmist is in desperate need of divine assistance. Have you been there? Have you had a time of experience in your life where you just need God to come through for you? This was the position that David found himself in. And like I said, at first glance, it looks all bleak, but it's really not. Because in the midst of his trials and persecutions, David could look up and say, "Mine help cometh from the Lord." Amen? Listen, if we had no need for God's help, how could our faith ever be tested? How could he ever have opportunity to show the power of his outstretched arm on your behalf if we didn't have trials and tribulations? So first of all tonight, beloved, I want us to look at two things in verses 81 and 82. First of all, we have David longing for help from heaven. Look with me in verse 81. "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me?" Now, the first thing I want you to see here is that David is longing for help from heaven. Look what he says there in verse number 81. David writes, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation." 82, "Mine eyes fail for thy word." 82, "Saying, when wilt thou comfort me?" David is longing for heavenly help here because he has a need. And this is the right thing to do, beloved. When we have a problem, we need to get, what did we sing? Sweet hour of prayer. We need to go to God with that need, amen, and seek his face. And I love how David lays it out before the Lord. "My soul fainteth for thy salvation." Now, beloved, realize here that David already had Old Testament salvation. He was a saint. So he's not speaking about salvation in the sense of getting saved from sin. He already was. But he's clearly speaking of salvation, that is divine deliverance from his deplorable situation. Okay? Salvation doesn't always mean the salvation of the soul by regeneration. Salvation in the Old Testament, in fact, never means that because there was no regeneration, new birth in the Old Testament. So he's talking about divine deliverance when he says, "I long for thy salvation." Okay? Now, he's talking about salvation from present calamities under which he was groaning.
That's what he's referring to. Go to Psalm 121. Flip ahead a page and you'll be there. Psalm 121. David writes, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. David knew where his bread was buttered. David knew where his help came from.
Amen.
And it was up above, not on this earth. So he says, I'll lift up mine eyes to the Lord, from whence cometh my help. Look at verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, the one which made heaven and earth. That's the one. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Aren't you glad God never goes to sleep on the job? He never quits watching over you by his holy angels. Look, the Lord is thy keeper. I like that. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Now, I don't know about you, church, but I need preserving. I can't preserve myself, but God does a fine job of it. Amen? His Holy Spirit in me and his holy angels surrounding me, he preserves me just fine. But you need to understand where your preservation comes from. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. He says, look, you've got a great God that you can depend upon in your going out in the morning and you're coming home at night. He's going to take care of you, everything in between too. Amen? Why? Because he's your preserver. Now, David knew where to look for help, and that was from God. But secondly, three things are revealed here in David's longing for heavenly help. First, that divine help is only secured to God's people by God's words. Look at verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. David knew that according to God's word, he would be delivered. Amen? He knew that he would have heavenly help. Indeed, church, you and I can depend upon what the Bible says. I'm so glad that we don't have to live like the world. They have no hope because they don't believe this book. Secondly, that this divine help is often delayed in testing of our faith. Look at verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation. See? The help was delayed. He was testing his faith. 82. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? He was going through the ringer, going through a dark tunnel. God was testing his faith. God was right there with him in the midst of that trial. Thirdly, that though the divine help be delayed, yet we must not lose hope in that help. Look at verse 81 again. But I hope in thy word. 82. When wilt thou comfort me? So David, despite his circumstance, did not lose hope. Secondly, notice David's describing his dilemma to God. Look at verse 83. He describes it to him. Verse 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Now, two things David declares here concerning his dilemma. First of all, that his condition was desperate. Look at verse 83 again. Verse 83. David says, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. What? What does that mean? Listen carefully. Understand here, church, that in David's time, bottles were made of rough leather. They weren't glass. And a leathern bottle, if hung for any time in the smoke, would become not only blackened with soot, but also would become dried and parched and shriveled up. So David is saying, Lord, I'm like a bottle damaged by the smoke of persecution, blackened by the smoke of slander, burnt by the onslaught of enemy attack. He's like a bottle in the smoke, shriveling up. Sometimes we get that way in our Christian life, and we feel like, man, is there any end to this trial? Go with me to Job, chapter 31. Job chapter 30. It's amazing how the book of Job speaks a lot of the same things that David speaks of, because Job was going through the trial of his life. The whole book of Job is about his trial. In Job chapter 30, look with me at verse 30. Look what Job says in his trial. My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burned with heat. My harp also is turned to mourning, and my organ into the voice of them that weep. Job was going through the fire. And he says, like David, I'm like blackened by smoke, like a bottle in the smoke. It's amazing how David describes his situation. He didn't cover it up. He didn't pretend he wasn't going through the fire. He said, Lord, you see my condition. Now, very interesting. Secondly, notice that despite David's condition, he remained faithful to God's word. Verse 83 again. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Now, beloved, there is a tendency in the best of God's people to be overcome by present circumstances and to forget God's promises that are found in his word. Look, go to verse 61. Somebody read us verse 61. Amen. The key is the not forgetting part. Look, somebody read us verse 93.
Will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me.
Amen. Though my circumstance may change, his precepts won't. The word of God will not change. 109, someone. Here, David's saying, my life could vanish at any time, on earth, that is. But, he says, I don't forget thy law. 141, somewhat.
I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts.
Amen. Not forgetting. 153.
Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law.
There's that deliver me again. Deliver me. Save me, Lord. Not save my soul. He's already saved. But save me from this terrible trial. And he would in time. But not in David's time. In God's time. Amen? He's got a reason for everything we go through. Thirdly tonight, observe David's desire for God to fulfill his promise of deliverance. 84. Question. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Now notice here that David desired for God to fulfill his promise of divine deliverance for him against his enemies. And he wanted to know when. Now, certain things we can't know. We can inquire, but we need to accept the answer. Two things the king requests here. First, that God would fulfill his promise to judge the wicked speedily. Look at verse 84. When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Oh, trust me, he will. God will execute judgment on those that persecute you. Child of God, you are the apple of his eye. Anyone who touches you, touches what is precious to God. And they will receive judgment one day, but in God's timing. Go to John chapter 5. Hold your place in Psalm 119. In John chapter 5, powerful verse concerning the judgment that our oppressors will face. In John 5, look at verse 27. Words in red. 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him, the Son, authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Notice the same two words we found in verse 84 of Psalm 119. Execute judgment. Who's going to execute judgment? Jesus Christ. Your Savior will execute judgment upon your enemies. Those demons, those little imps that try to hinder you in your Christian life, oh, he's going to get them real good. Go with me to Jude. Chapter of your choice, but go to Jude, verse 15. Just prior to Revelation, we have the little epistle of Jude, the apostle. And we read in Jude, verse 15, verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these evildoers, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Enoch preached the second advent. He did. He preached the second coming in Genesis chapter 5. Wow. Why is he coming? To execute judgment, same two words, upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly amongst them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. Somebody's ungodly. And of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He's coming to execute judgment, David. Hold on. Secondly, he requests that God would make known to him the length of his sufferings. Look at verse 84. David says, how many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Now, brethren, it is good for us to consider the fact that our present difficulties are only for a season. They're only for a time period. They're not permanent. Go to Psalm 39. Hold in your place again. Psalm 39. Look with me in Psalm 39 at verse 3. David says, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Now here, David is asking the Lord to make him know how long he be going through these trials before his promotion to glory. In Psalm 90, it's good for us to consider this, that they're only temporal, and our life is only temporal here on earth. There is a glorious eternity to come for the child of God. In Psalm 90, Moses wrote this psalm, and it's a prayer, amen? It's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Look at verse number 12, we read, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I love that verse because Moses says, Lord, I want you to teach me to realize that my life, I only have a set number of days to serve you. And then boom, I go into eternity. That's it. I don't have a second chance. There's no reincarnation. And David says, Lord, make me to know how long I've got to serve you so that I'll apply my, Moses says, so that I'll apply my heart to wisdom so that I'll live right. Considering the fact of the brevity of our life, really compels us to live right. You know what I'm saying? It really does, because it makes me realize I haven't got forever to serve God. I've only got a set period of time, and then boom, eternity comes. So, fourthly tonight, get ahead of myself. Fourthly, observe David's parenthetical messianic prophecy. There is a parenthetical messianic prophecy, as there are in many of the Psalms, here in Psalm 119. It's found in verses 85 through 87. Look at it. The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Now, beloved, listen. David is here, one of the great types of Jesus Christ in the Bible. You know that. And here, by the Holy Spirit, he uses his own actual circumstances to foreshadow the coming sufferings of the Messiah. Three things can be seen here. First, he speaks of the evil designs of his persecutors. Five ways he describes them. First, they were full of pride. Verse 85, the proud have digged pits for me. Listen, in their pride, they persecuted David like they persecuted Jesus Christ. Those Pharisees were full of pride. I'm holier than thou. I'm more righteous than you. I don't need this Jesus Christ. I got my own religion. And they rejected him because of their pride. Now, David was a godly leader. He was a humble man. And so too was the Son of God, blameless, harmless, sinless. Yet the Pharisees and Sadducees pridefully persecuted him until they nailed him to a cross. Secondly, they were unjust. Look at verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. They're unjust. Now, indeed, the religious crowd persecuted the Savior unjustly, wrongfully, and without a reason, without a cause. Look in Psalm 69. In Psalm 69, we have the whole psalm is messianic. You know that. And look what he says here in Psalm 69 at verse 4. This is Messiah. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies, wrongfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Drop down to verse 9. Verse 9. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. You'll find that quote in John chapter 2, verse 17. A fulfillment of this verse. And the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. You'll find that verse fulfilled in Romans 15 and verse 3. So it's all messianic in here. Go to verse 26. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten. And they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. And this is the messianic prophecy of the sufferings of the Messiah. Now notice the wording here. Thirdly, back in Psalm 119. They were spiteful. They were spiteful. Look at verse 85. The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. That's in spite. Notice the wording. It takes time to dig a pit, right? It takes time. It takes, what's that word when they, premeditation. You got to think it through. That's why they, person's charged with first degree premeditated murder, because they planned it out. Like those guys, those punks in California today, killing the 14 people, massacring them. They planned it out. That's premeditation. That's spitefulness is what that is. Now, their evil designs were deliberate. They were intentional. They were spiteful. Go to Psalm 35. In Psalm 35, we read in verse number 7, for without a cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without a cause they have digged for my soul. Again, messianic implications there. They persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ, and all he wanted to do was save them from their sins. They're spiteful, the enemies of God and his people. Fourthly, they were relentless in their attack. Look at verse 85. The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. Now notice here that these evildoers act in direct opposition to God's word, God's laws. See that? What they're doing is not after thy law, meaning they're acting contrary to the will of God. Contrary to the will of God. Okay? Go with me to Exodus chapter 21. Quickly. In Exodus chapter 21, there's an actual law against digging a pit for somebody. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The law of Moses was full of strange laws. But they all have had a reason. In Exodus chapter, go with me to 21. Exodus 21, and look with me at verse 33. Verse 33. And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit, and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. Now, here's what he's saying here. Somebody digs a pit and something goes wrong and somebody gets hurt as a result. Even if it's an animal, that person who dug the pit is responsible for the damage. So when, now back to Psalm 119. When he says in verse 85, the proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law, he's saying that digging of pit, digging, making a trap for David, was in direct contradistinction to the word of God. Direct opposition of what God's word clearly stated, you shall not do that. Okay? They act contrary to God's word. They have the spirit of Antichrist. Fifthly, they sought his death. Verse 87. They had almost consumed me upon earth. They had almost consumed me. Now, yes, often the persecutors of Jesus Christ, they would not be content until they had shed his innocent blood. That's what they wanted. They aimed at one thing, to kill the Messiah, the Son of God, because he claimed to be the Son of God. He was. He proved it by infallible miracles and proofs. Psalm 22, they sought his blood. Look with me in Psalm 22. What a messianic psalm this one is. In Psalm 22, look at verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? I'll tell you why. Because he's dying on an old rugged cross for the sins of the world. And the Father turned his face away. He would not behold. Because the penalty had to be paid. Drop down to verse 11. It's all the cross here. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Ye bore that cross alone. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. These are picture demons here. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. Satan thought he won the victory. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Now, some of his bones were dislocated on the cross. We know that. But they weren't broken. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, but dogs have compassed me. I love that. Jesus calls those demons of Satan dogs. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments amongst them and cast lots upon my vesture. All this passage can be quoted in the New Testament fulfillment of the cross and what they did to Jesus Christ. This is what they sought to do to David. They wanted to kill him. They wouldn't be happy till he was dead. You know, they didn't just want to mock him. They wanted him dead. But secondly, he applies to God in his sufferings. Notice two things here in David's application to God during his sufferings. Psalm 119. Look with me at verse 86. First, he acknowledges God's faithfulness despite his circumstance. Verse 86, all thy commandments are faithful. I love that. David says, you know what, Lord? I'm going through the ringer here. I'm going through the fire. I'm getting persecuted from every side. But you are faithful. Oh, folks, you've grown spiritually. When you get to the point where you're going through a severe trial, and you can look up and say, God, but you are faithful. Verse 86, all thy commandments are faithful. He contrasts his evil attackers with the unfailing faithfulness of his God. I hope somebody's listening. He contrasts his evil attackers with the unfailing faithfulness of his God. Listen, folks. Men are false, but God is always true. Men will let you down, but God will always hold you up, and he's always faithful. Look at verse 138. Somebody read that one.
My testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful.
Glory to God. Very faithful. Yes, indeed he is. Secondly, he applies to God for his deliverance. Look at verse 86 again. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. What's the next three words? Help thou me. You know what you got to do, folks? You've got to apply to God for your deliverance. Because nobody else can help you like he can. Amen? I mean, I love you guys. I'm here for you anytime you need me, night or day. You call me, I'll pray with you, do come get you, whatever it is. But nobody can help you like him. I'm so thankful that he's faithful and that he can deliver me from any situation. Notice two words here in verse 86. They and thou. Look at it. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. Folks, the thou is much greater than the they in verse 86. Amen? The thou will overcome the they in verse 86 any day of the week. David says, they persecute me, but thou helpest me. Thou helpest me, Lord. He understood where his great strength lieth, like Samson. It wasn't in his hair. It was in his covenant with God. Psalm 12. You know the shortest verse, the shortest prayer in the Bible? I'm going to show you. Psalm 12. I love it. I've used it so many times. When you're in a pickle, you're in a bind, use this one. Psalm 12, verse 1. Help, Lord. Is that good? Help, Lord. For the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from amongst the children of men. But he knows that his help still lied in God. Help, Lord. That works every time. Maybe you don't have time to sweet hour of prayer. Maybe you got a split second. Help, Lord. Works every time. Now, something else. David says, they persecute me, but thou helpest me. Thirdly, he declares his adherence to his duty despite enemy attack. Look at verse 87. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Two words in verse 87. They and I. Look, folks, no matter how many people come against you, you've still got your free will. You don't have to quit on God. You don't have to stop trusting him. Why? Look at verse 87. I forsook not thy precepts despite the fact that they almost consumed me. They almost killed me. And that happened many times with David. The Lord delivered him every time. His enemies sought to drive him away from his God, but their malice only resulted in driving him closer to his God. Isn't that good? Their persecution only served to draw David closer to his God. Verse Psalm 37. Look with me in Psalm 37. Whoever gets there first, read us verse 25. 25. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why did I read that? It said, David said, I'm old now, but I've never seen a righteous man forsaken by God, ever. Why did I read that? I read that, back to our text. Here's the reason why. Look at verse 87. Show you why I read that. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. David said, God has never forsaken the righteous, so I'm not going to forsake him. No matter how many Christians quit on God, I'm going to keep serving him. Amen? I'm going to keep on keeping on for Jesus Christ. Why? Because he won't forsake me. Hebrews 13:5, for he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is mine helper, and I will not fear what man shall do. Fifthly, and finally, tonight, notice David's petition for God's grace. Verse 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Now, he's saying here, Lord, make me alive and make me lively in your will. And do it by your loving kindness. Notice the word, loving kindness. Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, in closing, that the loving kindness of our God will keep you going through the night. The loving kindness of our God will keep you in the Christian fight of faith. The loving kindness of God will strengthen your spiritual batteries, knowing that he loves me, knowing that he's kind and good. I love it. Listen carefully, church. David is saying here that apart from the quickening power of God's Holy Spirit, he could not keep God's word and walk in obedience. Look at it. Verse 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. David says, Lord, if you don't quicken me, you don't strengthen me, you don't empower me, Holy Spirit, I have no hope of keeping your word. That's true for you and I. We cannot obey God's word and live a sanctified Christian life without the power of his Holy Spirit. And that's why, like David, we too need to pray. Lord, quicken me. Quicken me in your will and in your word so that I can keep your testimonies and live a godly life. Amen? It doesn't happen by accident. The will is involved, Christian. All these preachers behind pulpits, Calvinistic, you know, and, oh, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be. No! Whatever you will be. You got to choose to serve God. God gave you a will so that you'd exercise it. You know, oh, no, no, God makes all your decisions for you. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He gives you the choice. Love me and serve me, or forsake me, leave me. But we have to make that decision, beloved. The surest evidence of God's goodwill toward us is his good work in us. Amen? God is working in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. He's in you, and he's working. I love that. Verse 50. Someone read us verse 50.
This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me.
Glory to God. David could say, yeah, I'm being afflicted. Yeah, I'm being persecuted. Yeah, I got all these trials. But, good news, I'm comforted in the midst of that affliction. Why? Because his word, the word of God, had quickened him. Somebody read us verse 93.
I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me.
Amen. Every child of God who's been quickened by the Spirit of God can say verse 93 and mean it. I will never forget thy word, Lord, for with it thou hast quickened me. The word of God becomes precious to a child of God once they're saved. Amen? The world doesn't care what that book says tonight, but you do because you love it. It's yours personally because he's talking to you personally. Isn't that good? Now, beloved, in these verses, we find David in great trial, in great heartache, in great affliction, and yet we find David keeping, look at the last words of verse 88, keeping the testimonies of his mouth, which is this whole book right here. Amen. Meditate therein day and night, and you'll be like a tree planted by the waters, whose leaf does not wither, whose fruit cometh abundantly. Oh, glory to God. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these 8 verses. And Lord, I want to particularly thank you for the encouragement that we receive tonight as your children, that what you did for David, you will do for us. Lord, I'm so glad that no matter what the devil throws our way, the world, the flesh, Lord, you are greater. You are mightier. You are more powerful than anything the enemy can throw at us. And I thank you, Lord, that we can take comfort. I love that word. David said he was comforted in his affliction. So, Lord, help us to learn to bear our trials patiently. Help us to endure faithfully. Help us to remember, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for our every need. And, Lord, help us to remember that you will never, ever forsake us. Lord, therefore, each one of us, no matter what we're facing, we can face it with confidence, knowing that the Lord is mine helper, and I will not fear. We love you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's grab our hymnals, folks. Tonight, for a closing hymn prior to the prayer meeting. Oh, yes, it seems that Psalm 119 just keeps getting better. We love that. Let's open up tonight to 331, speaking of his faithfulness. It's great. 331 will stand, and let's sing all three. Great is thy faithfulness. Shadow of turning with thee.
in their courses above.
Faithfulness Church. Brother Dave, dismiss us in prayer, and those of you who can stay will have a short prayer meeting.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight.
And yes, Lord.
We ask you to just continue to lead it to us and guide us. And we thank you for your constant love and forgiveness for all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.